Okay. Talk a little bit this evening. About the Sar B'Tevet. The Navi Zechariah in Perek Ches, Sukkim Yuzchet and Yuzchet, is as follows. Vayitvar Hashem Tzvakot Elay Leymar, Kom Hashem Tzvakot, Tzom HaRevi'i, Tzom HaChamishi, Tzom HaShvi'i, Tzom HaAsiri, Yel Veit Yudam, Tzom HaSimcha, Vadim Tovim, Vahemet Vahashalom Ehavu. Torah, as we know, has only one Tainus Midoraisa, and that, of course, is Yom Kippur. But the Navi here mentions the four other Taniyot by their months. The Tzom of the fourth month, of the fifth month, of the seventh month, and of the tenth month. Tzom of the fourth month, obviously, we start counting from Nisan, refers to Nisan Yasivan Tamuz, Shivasa B'Tamuz. The fifth month, which would be Ab, would be Tishva. The seventh month, which is Tishrei, which is, of course, Tzom Gedalia. And then the Tzom HaAsiri does not refer to the tenth day of the month, but rather to the tenth month. The tenth month being Teves, and that refers to the Tzom that takes place in Teves. Now the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah has an interesting machlokas. The Gemara says, which day in Teves do we fast? Very strange question. Right. We all know the answer. So the machlokas Tanoi, Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that we fast on the tenth day of Teves, Asar B'Teves. What happened on Asar B'Teves? So this Navi in Malachim tells us that on Asar B'Teves, Nebuchadnezzar began his siege against Yerushalayim. Take a look in Perek, in Malachim Beis, the beginning of Perek, Malachim Beis, at the beginning of Perek Chafei, beginning of Perek Chafei, says that then. The Navi tells us, Vayi b'shnat atshit l'malcho b'chodesh ha'asiri b'asor l'chodesh, in the tenth month, on the tenth day of the month, Rav Nebuchadnezzar melech bavel hu b'chayol chilo ad Yerushalayim v'yichan aleh v'yivnu aleh v'yayik saviv, and he builds a matzor, he starts a siege of Yerushalayim. That was the beginning of the final destruction of the final korban in Bayis Risha. So Rabbi Kiva says, we commemorate the tenth day of Tammuz. Rabbi Shimon says, no, we commemorate the fifth of Tammuz. We fast on the fifth of Teves. What happened on the fifth of Teves? Anybody know what happened on the fifth of Teves? So Yecheskel, Hanavi tells us in Perek Lamed Gimel, Vayhi b'shtei asrei shana ba'asiri, on the tenth month, v'chamisha la'chodesh l'galuseinu, on the fifth day of Teves, and they were Golos in Bavel, Boy Lai Apolit in Yerushalayim Limar Huksa Ha'ir. The news reached Bavel that Yerushalayim had been destroyed. So, according to Rabbi Shimon, we should be fasting on the fifth day of Teves to commemorate hearing about the terrible news about the destruction of Yerushalayim, the Churban Beis Hamikdash. We, of course, paskin like Rabbi Akiva, and we fast on Asar B'Teves. But the Minchas Chinuch asks a very straightforward question. So until the time of Navi Zechariah lived at the beginning of Bayis Sheni, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimon lived after Churban Bayis. Excuse me, Rabbi Zechariah and Navi lived at the beginning of Bayis, at the beginning of Bayis Rishon. Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimon lived after Churban Bayis. Let's see if I can get this straight. Zechariah and Navi lived at the beginning of Bayis Sheni after Churban Bayis Rishon. Okay. At the beginning of Bayis Sheni. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon lived after Churban Bayis Sheni. There are many hundreds of years that passed between Zechariah HaNavi and Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon. When in the world were they fasting? Like, no one checked into it. All of a sudden, after many, many hundreds of years, all of a sudden they had an argument as to when they should start fasting. So the Minchas Chinuch is an interesting insight. Says that the original takana from the time of the Nevi'im was that you had to fast in the month. You had to fast in the fourth month, in the fifth month, in the seventh month, and in the tenth month. Because terrible things happen in those months. But which day exactly you had to fast was not necessarily kavua. And when it came to the tenth month, there seemed to have been different minhagim. In the time of Chazal, after Churban Bayit, they wanted to set the uniform bet. And now the discussion began, which is the most appropriate uniform date to set? Rabbi Kiva said, Asara B'Tevet. Rabbi Shimon said, Chamisha B'Tevet. Up until then, as long as you were fasting a day in Tevet, it seems it was acceptable. That's why the number refers to it as Tzom Asirich, after fasting the 10th month. But now, because I want to set a specific day, so now we have to determine which is the best day to set, and that's the Machlokes, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimon. And obviously be Paskin like Rabbi Akiva. Why do we fast? It's a takana to fast. You have to understand why we fast. The Rambam tells us in the beginning of Parakeh of Hilchos Taanis, Yesham Yamin Shekol Yisrael Misan Bahen. There are days that are universal fast days for all the Bnei Yisrael. Mitnei Hatzarot She'iru Bahen, because of the tragedies that happen to them. But you have to understand the fast as a goal. Kidei la'orer ha'levavos liftolach darchei ha'tshuva. We should be awakened from our slumber, so to speak. We're coasting along. We have to wake up, and I heard the end of Rabbi Konigsberg Shir, that you have to realize that things are not all right, things are not all fine, and if they're not good, I have to realize I have the ability to change them. Let's talk Dachei HaTshuva. V'yezeh Zikaron, the Rambam says, Zikaron l'ma'aseinu ha-ra'im, u'ma'asei avoteinu shahaya k'ma'aseinu ata, at shegaram lahem v'lanu otan hatzarot. And this should be a reminder that we need to change our ways. Because the tzarot, if they continue to exist, we can't just blame them on our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents. If it was only their problem, then by now we would have rectified and things would have been different. The situation is continuing, so then it's our problem. Shabizikarit varameilu noshev lahetiv shenema v'esvado savona v'esavona v'osam. And says that if we change it by remembering what the situation is and what we've done and what we should be doing, and we change our way, then we can bring about the change. So we have to realize that that's one of the primary purposes of the fasting. Now, are we required to fast? They'll tell me, of course you're required to fast. Pasuk in the Navi Zechariah. But the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, and that is Ched, things are not so simple. Gemara says, whether or not you're required to fast, depends on the specific situation that exists at the time. The Gemara presents three possibilities. If there is shalom, there's one set of rules. If there's gzeres hamalchut, there's another set of rules. And if there's neither shalom nor gzeres hamalchut, there's a third set of rules. If there's shalom, you're not allowed to fast. These days have to be days of celebration. So what's the definition of shalom? That there have to be days of Yumei Satsang, the Simcha. So Rashi says that Ein Yada Akum Takifa Al Yisrael, the Goyim have no power over Israel, and the Torah adds on the Beis Hamikdash is Kayim. So there were times during Bayit Sheni, maybe not there were certain times during Bayit Sheni, Beis Hamikdash was Kayam, and there were times that Bnei Yisrael were independent. And when they were totally independent of the rule of the Goyim, and Beis Hamikdash was Kayam, then these fast days were not fast days. These days were celebration. These were Sasa v'Simcha. On the other extreme, if there's Gzeret Malchut, then everyone's required to fast. What's Gzeret Malchut? Seems to mean that the Bnei Yisrael are suffering from very harsh decrees issued against them. And when that situation exists, then you must fast. If it's neither Shalom nor Gzeret Malchut, meaning Beit HaMikdash isn't built, but on the other hand we're not suffering from harsh decrees from the Goyim, then the Gemara says, Ratzu Mis'anin, Ratzu Ein Mis'anin. If they want to, they can fast. And if they don't want to, they don't have to fast. So where are we holding now? Certainly not in the Eish Shalom, not in the Beis Hamikdash. One could make an argument that we are in a situation, not a situation of Zeres Malkus. There aren't any harsh decrees against the Jews. Things aren't great, but things aren't horrendous. In which case, Matsu Masanin, Matsu Ein Masanin. So, can you walk out of here and say, okay, I don't think I'll fast on Wednesday. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. No, it's not so simple. The Rambam in Perush HaMishnayos actually says that it's really up to the individual. But the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch say differently. The Torah and the Shulchan Aruch say that this is a tzibur decision. This is a communal decision. You can't decide on your own what to do. But not only that, the Torah writes, that we as Bnei Yisrael as a whole have accepted upon ourselves already for many, many, for many centuries, and many, many, many generations, that as long as we don't have shalom, we're going to fast. So yes, originally a time of lack of shalom and lack of gzeiras malchus, neither there nor here nor there, would have led one to a situation where the tzibur could have decided what to do. But in practice, we have decided to accept upon ourselves the fast, and therefore we are chayav to fast, and that's the psak and shulchan aruch. It's no longer an option, neither to the individual, nor to a whole tzibur. You can't have a shul that votes, you can't have a city that votes, you can't have a country that votes. We have accepted upon ourselves as chova to fast on these taniyos. The Ramban has a interesting insight, which may have ramifications, halacha lemaisa, about this option versus mandatory fast during these days. Ramban says that if there was a gzeret malchus, not only was fasting mandatory, but the mandatory that fasting that took place on Asar B'Teves and Shavuot B'Tammuz and Tzom Gedalia was exactly the same kind of fasting and tanis that takes place on Tisha B'Av. What do I mean? According to the Ramban, the gzeret malchus, and you have to fast, then it's not a daytime fast. And it's not only in Yisra'a Chila Mishniya. All the chumras of Tisha B'Av, of a 24-hour fast, and the inuyin of not only Achila Mishniya, but Rechitza, Vesicha, Nira Sassandal, and Tashma Shamita, all those inuyin apply to all the fast days when it's Zeres Malchus. When it's a theoretical optional time, then we can choose what we want to do. So we can choose in a theoretical optional time that we're going to fast. We're only going to fast during the day. We're only going to have an Yisra Achim of Ishtiya. And we're not going to have an Yisra Achim of Sichem Yilas Asan Otash Mishamidya. So if we're now in the optional stage, so we've accepted upon ourselves to do so, but that's why we all know that right now, there's a Sarvatevez, it's only a daytime fast, it doesn't begin at night, and the only thing we're not allowed to do is eat and drink. There's no Yisra Rechitza, there's no Yisra Sicha, there's no Yisra Milo Sassando, no Yisra Tashma Shamita, all this is permissible. Just eating and drinking during the night. Nevertheless, the Bach, and Mishneh Berurah quotes the Bach, says it's possible that a Baal Nefesh should be Machmir. Soon to be Machmir. It's not so simple, as he's writing in their time, that there were no Gzeret Malchus. Could be things were not so neutral as one thinks. And therefore, the Mishneh Berurah writes that a Baal Nefesh should be Machmir. I think you're required to. Somebody wants to be careful. Should be Machmir on certain things that apply to Tisha B'Av, that we think apply to Tisha B'Av only, but one should do so to the other fast. One thing mentions is Tashma Shamita, one should refrain from Tashma Shamita, unless, he says, unless it's Leil Tefillah, unless it's the night that the wife goes to the mikveh, because then there's a special mitzvah. But otherwise one should refrain from doing so. He suggests also that maybe one should refrain from bathing in hot water. So that's one of the key questions people always ask. Can you let a shower on a Asar B'Tevet? So the answer is, Me'ikra Din Yet. You can take a shower, and you can take a hot shower. The Mishtabura writes that a Baal Nefesh would be Machmir and possibly not take a hot shower on a Asar B'Tevet, unless he writes it's Erev Shabbos, because a Asar B'Tevet can fall out on a Friday. If it's Erev Shabbos, only covered Shabbos Yishuk. So you're allowed to shower, but Baal Nefesh would be Machmir. Nila Sassanda, we said the minig is not to be careful as we wear our shoes because we're afraid the guy will make fun of us walking around barefoot or not in our regular shoes. And I don't know, he doesn't mention in Yisur Sicha. So there are those who are machmir in practical terms for us. There's some people who won't shower in hot water on a Asar B'Tevet. If you decide to follow that, very nice. And if you decide not to follow it, it's also fine. Yeah. The chumras don't seem to have doubled up. For instance, even according to this, no one suggests that you shouldn't eat at night. So, if you're already eating at night, not to shower at night, I don't know. It's not so clear to me that there's such a chumra. It's more during the day. It's a very nebulous kind of an issue. There's one other issue mentioned by the Bir Halacha, which is really Machlokes HaPoskim. Can a person get married in a Asar B'Tevet? So, no one would probably want to get married during the daytime of a Asar B'Tevet because you can't eat. But can a person have a wedding this Tuesday night? Asar B'Tevet is Wednesday. Can a person have a wedding on Tuesday night? So, if it's Leil Shivas HaBetamas, there's a big discussion amongst the poskim. But as we say, because you know, Shivas HaBetamas begins already the 3 weeks. So everybody asks, like, when can you not start, you know, when the Yisra is starting to listen to music, does it begin at night or not? But Asar B'Tevet is not, you know, it's not the 3 weeks. And yet, the B'Halacha says that there is an Inyan, just like as you get close to Mishnichnas Av Mimatim B'Simcha, there's an Inyan to be Mimayit B'Simcha on Asar B'Tevet. Why? The answer of Soloveitchik, understanding what Soloveitchik explains, very simply, is that Asar B'Tevet is a fast which is Zecha L'Churba. And therefore, if we're Mimayit B'Simcha as we get close to Tisha B'Av, so that's a whole 3 week process, 9 day process. So yes, it's a one-day issue. It's Asar B'Tevet, it's a fast Zecha L'Churba, so we should be Mamayit B'Simcha. And therefore, there are a number of poskim who say you're not allowed to get married on Asar B'Tevet. There are other poskim who disagree. In fact, there's a Tosfot. I don't know exactly what the Tosfot is, but there's a Tosfot somewhere that quotes that a fast actually, that there was a wedding that actually took place. Tosfot's in Eretz, and that's Memam and Beis. Described the wedding that took place on Asar B'Tevet. Well, obviously, the Baalei Tosfot didn't think that was a problem. But modern-day poskim have a discussion whether it's appropriate or inappropriate to have a wedding on Asar B'Tevet. What this also could have ramifications for is, let's say it wasn't a wedding. Let's say I wanted to make an engagement party on Tuesday night. The fast isn't until the morning, so this Tuesday night I want to have an engagement party. I want to make my grandparents' 50th wedding anniversary. We'll have music and singing and dancing, etc. So the issues seem to be the same. Now, it's for those poskim who say that you shouldn't have a wedding on Leil Asar B'Tevet because you have to be mimayit b'simcha on the whole 24-hour day. So presumably that would apply to all other celebrations. If for those poskim who allow a wedding, they would certainly allow other celebrations as well. So if you're thinking of making a very big celebratory thing on Leil Asar B'Tevet, realize it's machlokes poskim what's appropriate. I mentioned earlier that one of the key questions people always want to know is, you'll have a shower on the Asar B'Tevet. That's really the second question. The real first question everybody wants to ask or asks is, are you allowed to brush your teeth? That's what everyone wants to know. Can you brush your teeth? Can you wash out your mouth on Asar B'Tevet? There's a machloket Harishonim between the Truma Sadeshin and the Maharir. The Truma Sadeshin writes that on public fast days, one's not allowed to wash out one's mouth, and that would include Aser B'Teves. The Maharil says even on public fast days, you're allowed to wash out your mouth. And you have to be careful not to swallow. It says on Yom Kippur, it's Asur. Can't wash out your mouth on Yom Kippur, but in the other fast days, it's Mutter. And then the Daki Moshe says Tisha B'Av is also Asur. Tisha B'Av might be also Asur, both because it's more chomer, because there's an issue to wash any part of your body. Washing out your mouth is washing part of your body. But on the other fast days, where there's no issue to wash a part of your body, so the Maharil says you can wash out your mouth. Just have to be careful not to swallow. The Truma Sadeshin says you can. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that you're not allowed to wash out your mouth on the other fast days. Comes along the Mishnah Berurah, and he says that if a person is mitztayer, how do you define mitztayer? Is in some degree of discomfort. It's hard to, I don't know if it's painful, but at least in some degree of discomfort. So they'd be allowed to wash out their mouth, but they have to be careful not to swallow. A person who's not in discomfort, then we should not wash out their mouth on Sorbetes. How uncomfortable does a person have to be, I don't know. I think it's more than just waking up in the morning, and we're so used to brushing our teeth first thing in the morning that you wake up with morning breath and you go to yourself, oh, I can't speak because I think it has to be some greater degree of discomfort. It's hard for me to define it. But if a person falls under the category of mitzvah, so one could wash out one's mouth on condition that one doesn't swallow.
Well, if you talk about all that,
excluding Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. The Aruch HaShulchan actually has the greater leniency. The Aruch HaShulchan says that the stringency that's involved here about not washing out one's mouth is talking about people who are gargling. You go, oh, because when you gargle, what's the concern? There's a very good chance of what might happen. You'll swallow. So then you have to be mach. Even if it's not mitkaveg, it has to be mach. But if you're not talking about gargling, you're talking about, I don't know, putting some toothpaste on your mouth, on your teeth, and moving it around with a toothbrush, and then spitting it out, so then the Aruch HaShulchan says that even the Truma Sadeshin would be maker. He wasn't talking about that. It's not clear to me that that's the Mishnah Berurah's opinion, but there is makom to be makil. There's room to be machmir. Certainly if a person feels some excessive degree of discomfort, I don't know how much, some degree of discomfort, so then there's room to be makil. According to the Aruch HaShulchan, if you're not gargling, you're just putting a little bit of toothpaste and brushing around, so then yesh hamal lismach. The suggestion that the post can talk about is that the person should bend over the sink. Whatever you're doing, if you're going to be brushing your teeth, to bend over the sink, because as you're bent over, it's very hard to swallow, because some person could choke. So you don't even come to put liquid in the back of your mouth. And then you spit out any excess liquid. That's what one can do. So rinsing out with water is already washing. You know, you could probably put some, if you're allowed to brush your teeth, you're allowed to probably put some water on the toothbrush and swish up to remove the excess paste that's there. Don't take a very strong tasting toothpaste that leaves you with lingering sense of paste in your mouth. Okay, what's the din with the chole? Person who's scared.
Why can't you wash your mouth out with water?
Presumably because of the chashash, you might come to swallow. Right. So that's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. The Aruch HaShulchan says they're only talking about people who are gargling with your neck all the way back. That's the whole discussion. Otherwise, there's no problem. The other poskim seem to say, no, the problem with washing your mouth out. One guy's going to wash his mouth out bent over, another guy's going to be straight, the third guy's going to be leaning back. You know, there's a low flow. We don't allow people to wash their mouth out because somebody's going to end up swallowing. Okay, what's the story with a person who's sick? So there are three types of illness that the halacha generally recognizes. There's a cholish yesh bo sakana, there's a cholish she'ein bo sakana, and there's somebody who's not a cholah but suffers mimechush ba'alma, sense of discomfort. Cholish yesh bo sakana is somebody who's in a life-threatening situation. Here, there's nothing to talk about. The goch nefesh is dochel kol ha'torah kula. Not only can you eat on the Sarvet Teves, can you eat on Yom Kippur. So, we're not talking about a chol ha'sheyesh basakam. That's for sure. There's nothing to do about. What about a chol ha'sheyesh basakam? Person wakes up on the Sarvet Teves, is running a fever 101. They have, I don't know. You have a virus. Go to the doctor, it's a virus. What do you do? 24-hour block. She's a cholah, but he's ain't sakana. You wouldn't be machal of Shabbos to such a person. What's the story in terms of the fast? So halacha is, it's chazal, we're not mitakeh, the fast for a cholah. So the cholah doesn't fast. And Yom Kippur has to be a cholah she'ein bo sakana. But the other fast days, as long as you're a cholah, even if you're ain't bo sakana, the person doesn't fast. If you have fever, you don't fast.
Even
on Tishma. Oh. Then there's the third category. There's the Mechush Ba'alma. Mechush, Mem Yud Chet Vav Shin. Ba'alma, Bet Ayin Lamed Mem Aleph. Which means, you're not feeling great. This person has a cough. This person has a runny nose. This person has a bit of a headache. This person has a bit of a stomachache. It's not that you're sick. You're not sick. You're not feeling good. Now, I sympathize with you. Yeah. None of us enjoy not feeling good. But there's a difference between somebody who has a head cold, or a bit of a headache, or a cough, or a runny nose, and somebody who's sick with fever. A person who has fever is a cholah. The person has a runny nose, has a cough, has a bit of an upset stomach. So they have a mechush ba'alma. The person who is suffering from a mechush ba'alma, all other circumstances being equal, has to fast. Many people, when they fast, get a bit of a headache. Nothing about a migraine headache. Migraine headache is extremely debilitating and has put the person in the category of a cholah. We're talking about a bit of a headache. So what do you do if you have a bit of a headache on a first day? You lie down. You have a bit of a stomachache, so you lie down. That's what you have to do. Then you have to continue fasting. Questions? Yes.
Yeah.
We'll come to that soon. Very soon. Just before that, what about taking medicine? So there's one issue that's easy to decide and one issue that's more difficult. Swallowing a pill is not eating. And therefore, if you have to take medicine and A, you're allowed to take it medically, you're allowed to take it on an empty stomach because some medications you're not supposed to take on an empty stomach. Just want to know, so you're allowed to take it on an empty stomach. And B, you are capable of swallowing a pill without any water, just saliva in your mouth, then there's no problem of taking it. 100% okay. If it's a liquid, same thing applies, as long as the liquid is very unpleasant tasting liquid. Very sour or bitter tasting liquid, not at all enjoyable. Then you could also take it. If the medicine cannot be taken on an empty stomach, or you're not capable of taking the medicine without any outside liquid, you just can't swallow a pill unless you drink half a cup of water. So then the question gets a little bit more complicated. And the issue really is, how important is the taking of this medication? And also, especially Asar B'Teves, because the fast is the shortest fast, especially on Asar B'Teves, is it possible to take the medicine before the fast begins and after the fast is over and still fulfill the doctor's prescription? I forgot to take a look at the calendar, maybe later with someone being just before we end, so we know exactly when the fast starts and ends. But the fast starts sometime after 5 o'clock in the morning, and ends sometime shortly after 5 o'clock in the evening. So the whole fast is about 12 hours long. It's entirely possible that you can take a pill. If you have to take it once a day, you can take it in the evening. If you have to take it twice a day, you get up a little bit earlier and you take it, you know, just before the fast begins, and take another one just after the fast ends, and you may be fine. If you're on medication and you think you have a problem, don't wait for Wednesday morning to try to figure out what to do. You should speak to somebody. You may want to speak to your doctor. You may want to find out what happens if I miss a day. You may want to find out if you can change the hours. Certain medications, the doctors are very careful that you must take it at the same time every day. Many medications, as long as you take it once a day or twice a day, it's not so precise exactly when you take it. You know, sometimes you forgot to take it early, you take it a little bit later, sometimes you take it later, you know, earlier. You know, so that you can work around the fast, especially in such a short fast like Asar B'Teves, in most cases, you can work around it. Obviously, somebody who has a heart condition, right, you don't play games with your medication, you take it whenever you're supposed to take it, etc. Because that's a potential cholesterol of sakana. Potential. What we're talking about, somebody has taking medication for all those things, just try to work this out. Something that's not nogea right now, but Bezut Hashem, at the right time in a number of years, it should be nogea. What's the story with pregnant and nursing women? The Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch writes that pregnant women are patur from fast. We're not talking about Tisha B'Av now. We're talking about Asar B'Teves, Shavuot B'Tamuz, and some Gedalia. Pregnant women are patur from fast. Okay. The Mechaber. Pregnant women and nursing women are patur from fast. That's it. They don't fast. The Ramah writes the three fasts. Asar B'Teves, Shavuot B'Tamuz, and some Gedalia. Tanis Esther is even more lean, for sure. The Ramah writes that even though they're potter, pregnant women and nursing women have a minhag to fast on these days. Says the Mishnah Berurah and other Achronim that if the women feel any degree of weakness, then they're passed from fasting, even according to the Ramah. They shouldn't fast. Similarly, if they feel any unusual discomfort, they also shouldn't fast. Come along later, Achronim, and say all pregnant women nowadays, all nursing women nowadays, are mitztarot, and therefore they don't fast. Here in Eretz Yisrael in general, many poskim are very lenient when it comes to pregnant and nursing women fasting. And despite what the Ramah writes, and to Sfaradim for sure, Sfaradim, Talmud Mechaber, that pregnant and nursing women don't fast. But even Ashkenazim, here in Eretz Yisrael, the minhag to a great extent is to be very makel. But it depends on the situation, and you have to take a look. Right? Some pregnant and nursing women fast very well. Some don't. You don't have to be a cholish yesh basakana. You don't even have to be a cholish. If you begin to feel any kind of unusual discomfort, so then you should stop fasting. With nursing women, you have an additional problem. You may feel fine, but what happens to your milk supply? It dries up. So if you don't have enough to sell, great, you're feeling fine, and the infant is suffering. So folks can say, that's not good. Okay, a woman can express milk ahead of time and see bottles for the baby. So you have to take a look. I think in chutzlar it's a little bit more people, more machmir. When the time comes, you have to ask the shayla. sometimes you have to ask Hashem. It also depends on how your pregnancy is going. And some people have an easy pregnancy, some people have a difficult pregnancy, some women are nurse well, some don't. There are all sorts of factors that come into the decision, but just in general, right, you should know that the Sfaradim in general, women don't fast, Ashkenazim, the meaning is to be machmir unless A, B, C, D, E, and F, which is, in any case. Okay, in terms of the tefillot that we have, so primarily in Shemona Esrei, we add on the tefillah of Aneinu. Sfaradim say it both in Shachris and Mincha. Ashkenazim, only the Shliach Tzibur says it in Shachris. And everybody who's fasting says it in Mincha. Why do the Ashkenazim do it this way? We're worried that somebody will say, Aneinu Hashem Aneinu V'yom Tzom Ta'aniteinu in Shachris, and then not feel well and get sick as the day goes along, and we'll end up not fasting. So they said, V'yom Tzom Ta'aniteinu, and it turns out they're not fasting. Shliach Tzibur represents the whole Tzibur. Somebody in the Tzibur is going to end up fasting, so then that's fine. By Mincha time, everybody says it. Why? Because by Mincha time, more than half the day has passed, and I haven't eaten, and therefore, it's a true statement to say already, V'yom Tzom Ta'aniteinu. Even if it turns out a person has to eat later on, before Shkia, before Tzeis, so still, the fast is still, it's considered as if he fasted, and it's not a problem. In addition to our name, what happens if a person ate? Let's say they were cholah, so do they say Aneinu? The Mishnah Berurah is not very clear. He seems to be sotar himself in two different places. One place he seems to say that they shouldn't say Aneinu. Another place he says that they should say it with a slight variation. Instead of saying B'yom Tzom Ta'aniteinu, say B'yom Tzom Ta'anitzeh. Right, it's not his fast day. It's B'yom Tzom Ta'anitzeh. But it's not so clear. Probably the best thing to do is if a person is not fasting, probably the best thing is not to say Aneinu. If a person forgot to say Aneinu, so they can say it in Elokai Netzol Shuni, the last paragraph, towards the end of Shemon Esrei, just before they take the steps backwards. But if they finished all the Shemon Esrei and then remembered that they didn't say Aneinu, so then you do not repeat Shemon Esrei. There's also, of course, Avinu Malkeinu, which will be said in Shachris and Mincha. There are slichot, special slichot that are said in Shachris after Shemon Esrei. That's the meaning of the Ashkenazim, Sephardic Minhag Ha'Olam. What else? Yeah. That's in general, you can say slichot without a minion, but you can't say the Yud Gimel Midos. It happens to be the one very important thing, Elisa, do you mind going into the office and getting another calendar on the wall that has all this on it? A Daphne's desk? Anybody know the calendar? Take a look at the calendar. It's a weekly calendar in Hebrew, right? And it's on the bulletin board by Daphne's desk, toward the left-hand side. So just bring in the calendar. What about Yigimu Midos, Hashem Hashem Kerach HaMachanu, which is the main part of the Slichos, cannot be recited unless it's together with the Midian. So, but you can recite the other Slichos. Right, but the Post can talk about this, it says, B'yom Tzom Ta'aniteinu, right? That even, that's why some, at one point the Mishnah Berurah says, just change the language to B'yom Tzom Ta'aniteinu. On the other hand, the very fact that Ashkenazim don't say it in the morning, lest I might not finish the fast.
So
it seems to be that this Aneinu, at least the private Shemon Esrei, is a private tefillah, even though it says Lashon Rabbah. What I want is to tell you what time the fast begins, what time the fast ends. Like in everything else, there are different shittos. So, you should say here what time the fast begins. Okay. So the fast ends officially at 5:08. So this is Yerushalayim time. So the fast ends at 5:08. The fast begins makes the most sense at 5:16 Yerushalayim time. 5:16, which would mean 5:16. Okay, so the fast begins at 5:16 and ends at 5:08. There are other opinions on the matter, obviously, but one second. I'm just going to say this. I'm seeing my phone. Yes. There are those who begin the fast even earlier, but Shabbos is most of them. Which means, of course, that if you want to go to sleep and get up early, you should just have in mind before you go to sleep that you're not accepting the fast. You go to sleep at midnight and you're going to get up at 5. Remember, if you want to eat before the fast ends at 5:16, you can't set your alarm for 5:15. It doesn't work. You have to have finished eating and everything else by 5:16. So if you want to set a little bit of water, a little bit of, I don't know what else you want to have, you can eat to do. Okay. What you should have in mind the night before, when you're going to sleep, that you're not accepting the fast. So you should also have in mind, it's always good to have in mind, doesn't it? Yes. When you say the bracha akron is irrelevant. I mean, if you, but I wouldn't trust your watch to such an extent that I finish drinking at 5:15 and a half. Your watch may be 2 minutes slow, in which case it could be a minute slow, in which case you'd be in trouble. So to ruin everything for just. So you should start, the fast officially begins 5:16, I would say, plan to finish everything by 5:10. Don't try to save yourself those extra 6 minutes or whatever it is. It just can be a little bit on the safe side, in case you overdo a minute or two, and you watch a slow minute or two. Okay. Any other questions? Basically, I wanted to talk about things that I said today, because that's Hashem, we should keep in mind what I spoke about earlier. To make that the idea is that we should be ma'orer ourselves, the dachiyat tshuva, possibly the last of the asar b'tevim.